Great. And so one and ready and ready. And of course, we thank Leah Carwin, Executive Director, for being on. We have Mike Morisi, Director of Development. We have Jessica Young with our administrator. And then we want to thank Mike Quarter from Kentucky, Beth Folsom from Colorado, Esther from Alaska, Sharon Pierce from North Carolina, Pam Olson from Florida, Jimmy Caligiuri from Iowa, Abby, thank you for being on in Pennsylvania. And then I had someone else just jump on. Would you please give us your name?
Marlene, Tennessee.
Hi, Marlene. Thank you for being on. Excellent. And we have Delbra Pratt in Illinois. Thank you, Delbra, for being on. Uh-huh. And Cindy Williams is on her way. She's actually out of town, so she won't be able to join us today. And then Deb Corbett in Oklahoma also let us know that she would not be able to join us today. But we thank you all for being on. We do have We look forward to a great call. Let's just go ahead and open in prayer. And Sharon, would you open us today, please?
Father, we come before you this morning, God. We thank you, God, for our brothers and sisters, God, across this nation, from state to state to state, God. Father, we present ourselves before you this morning, God. Lord, it's an amazing thing to stand in your presence, God, and to know that the living God is our Father, and you have given your Son, Lord, to open the way into your presence. It's the blood of Jesus that paid the price that we can speak to you this morning as your sons and your daughters. And Father, we worship you in this place. We stand before you with thanksgiving, God, for your goodness, Lord, for your greatness, your love, God, for your creation and for the children of men, Father. And Father, we ask that your Spirit, God, would touch each one of us right now, God. Father, wherever we are, God, Lord, that the Spirit of God would sink us, God, to your heart, Lord. Father, that we could truly stand before you in the expression of a one new humanity, in one heart and one mind, and in thanksgiving for your love for us, God. We bless you. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon. Amen. Great. Also, I wanted to welcome Pastor McIntosh from Connecticut. Thank you for joining us. We welcome you. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Leah Carwin.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Summer. And just so thrilled to be on the call with all of you again. I look forward to this. I really am so grateful for every single one of you and all that you're doing. And we have some good things I hope to share this morning with you. And I want to jump right in. And one of the first things that we're going to talk about this morning is sort of as a follow-up to our conversation last month. And again, I want to say I am extremely grateful for the robust conversation, for the real fierce conversations that we have. It doesn't do us any good at all to hold back or to wonder, to question things. We've got to just get them out on the table, because what we're doing, gang, is one of the hardest things to try to do, and something that, like I've said before, nobody's really tried to do what we're doing at this level with this topic of combining government leaders, religious freedom, prayer, and civilians all in the same thing, and build this network of leaders. And it's hard, and and honestly, this is a brand new bucket that people don't really even have context for. Government leaders don't really have a context for it. They try to put it in other buckets, neither do civilians. But we know, all of us know, understand now, and I think many of our leaders are beginning to understand why this is so crucial, that we have built this network and that we have these mechanisms outside of it that they're used to. So thank you for getting into this with us and building this plane as we fly it. You know, we're all kind of learning as we go, constantly learning new things. But you guys have been picked by the Lord, and I know that because of your faithfulness, your spirit, your character. I mean, I just feel so blessed and so privileged to be in this with you, each one of you. So looking forward to getting to know all of you even more as the years go on. So with that, let's jump into the state director's commitment that we sent out. What happened was several things. One, the conversation that we had last month, plus the conversation we've been having with attorneys that are how we our organizations need to protect themselves based on the Supreme Court ruling, just to ensure that if anything is brought against, they are, you know, they're positioned in such a way to be clear on who they are, so that when not just when lawsuits be brought, but so that they can be clear and have a leg to stand on when they choose to hire somebody or not to hire somebody, or to bring somebody on as a state director or volunteer intern or not. We want to make sure we set ourselves up in every way, wisely using our tools at our disposal to make sure that we do this within the law and protect ourselves in every way to be as to be set up to do our mission and not get boiled down in petty things like that. So we have put together the state director commitment. Some of these things you will have seen. Summer sent it out to you a couple of weeks ago. I hope everybody had a chance to review it. We have, and just kind of as a side note, it's not just the state director's commitment. We've actually reviewed all of our state director processes, onboarding, prayer caucus chairman, packets, all kinds of stuff. So this is just one piece of a pretty robust overhaul that we're doing, because we were so excited. We've gotten to the point where we have resources and people in place that we can really take a look and do a better job of servicing you, a better job of preparing you, resourcing you. And so that's what this whole last month was about. We brought in a gal who actually timed for three weeks. She's one of the top consultants at Deloitte, one of the biggest consulting firms in the world, longtime friend, helped found the foundation. She gave us, took 3 weeks of vacation from her job and gave us those weeks to work alongside us to help put these things together and get on a better track with all of this. So this is part of that whole thing, just so you kind of know what this is. And I also hope you had a chance to open up the organizational chart, because I'm going to refer to that as well. And it will help you hopefully get some understanding of the context when I'm speaking about these things. There's two places that I especially want you to be aware of. One is the statement of faith, and that's a new thing you wouldn't have seen before. And that is very much taken from the whole what the attorneys have been saying we need to put into all of our documents. These are the things that every person that we hire, every state director, will need to read, understand, and sign, agree with. This is our statement of faith. This is what we stand for as an organization. And like I said before, we are an overtly Christian organization. The foundation, Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, we are overtly Christian with no apologies. We can say all these things that we're saying in the statement of faith is what we believe as people who are working in this organization. These are the people that if I hire them, bring them on as state directors, I can unapologetically say, do you agree with our statement of faith? And if you don't, you may not be a good fit for us. That's why we spelled that out in that way. Now, the second thing that you might not have seen before was the positional statements. The statement of faith started on page 7, and the positional statements, I believe, started on page 12. The reason we did those positional statements was sort of in a response to our conversation last month. I realized I wanted to make sure you had in your hands sort of the broader definition. When I use a term like Creator Redeemer, or when I use concepts that talk about protecting individual religious freedom versus ensuring that a nation reflects Judeo-Christian values, that you understand kind of what I'm talking about. When I talk about freedom of conscience, and to me that's synonymous with freedom of religion, and I think that's what our founders, they use those interchangeably a lot, that we have the freedom of conscience, we have the freedom of religion. We can individually choose by our own conscience how we want to live our lives, what we want to believe, and how we want to live. So, and how is that different from ensuring that our nation reflect Judeo-Christian values? Because sometimes people think that conflicts, and it does not. It's what our founding documents are actually established on. Brilliant, brilliant concept. So we put those positional statements in there just so that you could read through those and go, okay, now I get sort of what where they stand and what they're talking about. And you could use it to explain to other people, too, if there's confusion on that. And there might be other things that we add to these positional statements as we need to, but we want to at least put those primary ones in there. And so one of the things, I just want to mention one more thing before I sort of open it up for dialogue. The reason I included the organizational chart in this is because this is where it gets a little bit confusing, I think, and I get why. If you understand everything that we do as the foundation, it's all of our employees, the state directors are actually contracted under the foundation. You are technically volunteers for the foundation. And so all the things that apply to the foundation apply to you, whether it be the statements of faith, the contracts. You notice we're the ones that contract you for everything, not the caucus, not the congressional caucus, and not the state caucuses. And the state legislative prayer caucuses and the congressional prayer caucus, if you notice on this org chart, they are not under the foundation. They are a completely separate entity. Just like the congressional prayer caucus is, so are the legislative prayer caucuses. Technically, they cannot be under us. They are their own entity. So I, for example, cannot and would not send the prayer caucus chairman this state director commitment like I would an employee, an intern, a volunteer, a state director, because they are not required to follow this. They are their own entity. That's just the nature of how caucuses work. So it's a little tricky because you work for us, you can be overtly Christian and should be and probably need to be based on all of these things, but when you support these legislative prayer caucuses, they are a neutral entity. They are not overtly Christian in the same way that we are overtly Christian. They are much more neutral. They're not based on any kind of, they have no necessarily, though they may be filled with Christians, they are not technically a Christian caucus, if that makes sense, based on what you just read in the statement of faith in that description. So that's kind of what I wanted to make sure that everybody understood clearly, sort of how the inner action and the inner relationship between all these different organizations and how they all fit. So with that, I'd love to just open up the floor and have some dialogue based on to what we talked about last month. If you have any more questions about where we stand and how that fits, if you have any questions about how this all is, or if you have any questions about this commitment that we just sent you, because we are going to ask that everyone, every employee, every state director, every intern be willing to sign this statement, state director commitment, or a commitment like this when they begin to work with us. So with that, I'm going to open it up to the floor for any questions or thoughts from all of you.
Hi, this is Jenny, and I have a couple of questions, Leah. Our caucus, let me start with this. I do the prayer, and I meet with a lot of the different caucus members. At this point, we really don't have we have a Democratic co-chair, but we really don't have a lot of others. They send me emails, different ones of them that are part of the caucus, send me emails asking for prayer against the abortion issues, against the marriage, marriage of one man and one woman. So I'm having, I guess I need more clarity, and I don't know if maybe I'm the only one out there that's struggling with this. And we have been part of, let me just keep these separate. So that is one thing. They come in and they pray these things during the noon prayer when they come. And I don't, because a lot of them are Christians that are coming, and I don't, do I tell them, no, they can't do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Jenny. Let me answer that in a couple of different ways. First of all, you cannot control what these government leaders do. They have to have follow their own convictions. And so all you can do is really understand the purpose of the caucus, understand what the pluses and minuses of what they're doing, and then let them decide for themselves and give them suggestions or advice. Or what I often do when I talk to legislators, and believe me, I have exactly the same conversations with legislators that you guys are having as they're forming caucuses. I've talked to just about legislators from just about every state, so I really, really feel and understand what you're talking about. Usually the way that I approach it is I say, if you choose to have prayers that are specific to these kinds of issues, if that's how you're going to spend your time together, you just need to understand, and I'm going to shortcut this for you as opposed to using the language I might use or how I might phrase the conference, but basically what I'm saying is it is definitely going to change the purpose of this prayer time. For example, in Room 219, those government leaders at the congressional level realize if we pray over issues of abortion, marriage, these kinds of things, we will not get bipartisan prayer time. It won't happen because it sinks into bills and all that kind of stuff. They have committed and made it clear that when you come into Room 1019, you will feel welcome there no matter who you are. You will be prayed for as an individual, and you will be prayed for strength and courage. We'll pray for your family, and we will pray for wisdom together, that God would give us wisdom collectively to do the right thing according to his wills and things like that. Because they knew that if they didn't, they would end up just being a Republican deal, and they do that at other times. They have a Wednesday morning Bible study that's pretty much just like mine, the Republicans. They have a prayer time on Thursday morning. They have other times for that. This caucus time, they have chosen intentionally to make it a time that is inclusive, and there's plenty to pray about, they said, without praying about the issues at that formal meeting, prayer time meeting. So that's one way to answer your question. And that's what we're encouraging. We're encouraging that they use this prayer caucus as a time that is not divisive. Now, easier said than done, but it is doable if the leadership and the people they're praying understand the purpose and get a vision for it. The second way to answer that is it's collectively versus individually. No question they can send out prayer requests and things like that as individuals. We should be praying. We have how many other hours in the week? Can we pray about absolutely everything and every issue that we want to as aggressively as we want to interceding? It's not too much to ask that for that short time, for a half an hour, however we're praying together, that we refrain from praying for some things that are going to divide us. And the reason why they did this is because they kind of went back to the time when Benjamin Franklin, they were bitterly divided. And if they had started praying, if Benjamin Franklin and all them had started praying, oh, God, get these darn, slave owners on board with us versus, oh, God, get these silly Christians who think that we're in the South are wrong. If they would have prayed like that, would they have had the same result of bringing everybody together and actually getting our Declaration of Independence? This is meant to be a time where we can somehow find a prayer time for people to come together, and maybe God would have mercy. Not that we agree on these values, it's just that we agree that God is the only answer. That's a long-winded answer. Does that help at all?
Well, and the co-chairs are the ones that really want, and what it is our prayer time is from 12 to 1 every Tuesday, and it's those intercessors that have been coming all summer long, all year long, and they just ask us, those legislators that come to pray, it's not the time when just the legislators together. Is a time when public is there praying with them. So, and my co-chairs want that to be that way. So they want it to be however it's led. So, I know what you're saying. So I know what you're saying. We're going to be having a meeting in September sometime, and I will sit down with them and explain to them we just don't have Democrats that come besides our one co-chair, and they've all signed up. We have many of them, well, not many, but we have some that are part of the caucus. But I really feel like we need them to have a better understanding of it, and that's just another issue with me and the co-chairs. But the other thing is how do I I join with others, or they join with us, like say family leader, on these types of issues. I understood in the beginning that I take off my state director hat to become part of this, even though maybe the co-chairs want to be part of some of these, like they're having prayer for planned, to defund Planned Parenthood now in a lot of places. So we don't wear that hat, or can you explain that a little bit to everyone? Or
yeah, absolutely. That's also very good. That's very important. And the only thing I can go back to is what the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus do. I mean, all legislators are in the same exact position. The difference is engaging in these things as individuals versus engaging the name of the Legislative Prayer Caucus formally as supporting or making statements around these issues. So believe me, every one of those members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus are engaged with defunding Planned Parenthood, family issues, putting forth bills that are very socially specific in support of Christian values. They're definitely doing that. It's just that when the Congressional Prayer Caucus makes a statement, or if they stand for something, or they sponsor something, or if they come together and say the Congressional Prayer Caucus is making this stand, that's when they very, very specifically make sure that they stay within the lane that they have promised all of their members they would stay within. So I think that's the difference. It's the difference between individuals continuing to fight the fights that they are passionate about, individual conscience and freedom, and the caucus formally making a stand and standing behind something. Again, your caucus, let me just put a caveat there, your caucus members and leaders have to understand the value and the benefit of keeping their caucus a place where all the members can trust them, that they will make a stand, because they will be stronger in the long run if they will adhere to and stay in the lane in which they were created for. On the short run, it's tempting to divert into these other issues, but in the long run, they're going to be stronger if they stay true to their mission, because they truly will gain the trust of both sides. Now, let me just say this one more little caveat on that, and that is that the social issues we all understand have now crossed over into the religious liberty lane. There is no clear line. I think 5 years ago there was a pretty clear line. It just wasn't quite the same. The last year the line has gotten so blurred, people don't even know. So you would say, well, gosh, and you can even see it in all the writings, is that these are not clear anymore. We're talking about Planned Parenthood. Well, the fact that we're funding it by the taxpayer dollars, now you just crossed into a religious liberty issue. I am not willing to put my taxpayer dollars toward funding an abortion that I fundamentally disagree with. And you as a government should not and cannot coerce me into doing that. So you just crossed over into religious liberty at that point. And the reason I want to make that point is because it's not that we shy away from those issues. It's just how we approach them formally in our writings and in our caucus, in every way, from the foundation to the congressional to hopefully to the state legislators, is that we approach it in terms of, you just violated the religious liberty of every person in my state and country, and we will not have it. And so it's how you approach it that makes a difference, because the lines are blurred. And it's not easy. It's not a straight line. There's no black and white. We're all just having to navigate this as we go. Does that help, Jenny?
Yes, that's good. I'll probably have some more conversation later, but yeah.
This is Pam. Can I add to that with Jenny?
Please.
Jenny, I get what you're saying, because we have the same issue in our Legislative Prayer Caucus that I attend. They are thrilled to have a place where they can come and pray real prayers for one another, but also over religious liberty, which does cross into the marriage issue and abortion issue. And we have a Wednesday prayer time that's led by our state chaplain that has both sides of the aisle, but most of them, the leaders have started coming to the prayer caucus because they will pray for the other people, and they still do pray for them, but they're happy to have a place where they say, we can pray for one another and pray real prayers and not be doing in their mind, sort of a political prayer, because kind of like one of the guys says, I just got so tired of this meeting and then people getting up and saying, well, I'm going to vote to abort babies. And that's become kind of it is a big issue. And we're having a lot of legislators come to the Legislative Prayer Caucus now because that weren't coming before because they said we can be honest, pray over religious liberty, pray for one another, but pray real prayers. So it is an issue. I mean, I agree with Jenny that the leaders are, and they love the people on both sides of the aisle, but they want to be real in their prayer time.
So it is,
and the legislators, since they're not, they, you know, I mean, it is going to be an issue. And when they've asked us, let's cover, you know, praying over that God opens the hearts of the legislators and pray over the marriage issue and stuff. I mean, the legislators leading this, that everybody's there praying. Do I just not pray? I mean, that would not work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, and they're actually,
well,
it's actually a great answer for our legislators. I mean, they're thrilled to have a place where they can come and pray for one another and pray real prayers.
And I can tell you, like, during the summer, we pray for a lot of things. We pray all, cover all these things. But I have explicit instructions for those every year that are praying. I have a good group of intercessors now, anywhere from 12 to 19 or 20 of them. And they know that during session, we don't bring those things up. But when the legislators come in and bring them up, it opens it all up. So,
yeah.
And
we don't
bring
up specific bills because we can't, during the legislative session because of our sunshine laws, but they will pray for religious freedom that covers all that.
Well, and that's why I specifically sort of gave you the org chart and gave you the vision, because I wanted you to know you cannot control these legislators. You can just simply make them aware of what you gain or lose. So your legislators, Pam, have decided that it's worth it to them to have this place for real prayer because they have this other place on Wednesdays that's more bipartisan that they're doing that, and they want in the prayer caucus time, apparently, is that what they consider this prayer caucus?
Yeah, it's the prayer caucus time versus the kumbaya is what they call it. I mean, it's very... And yet they will pray for the other people, and we're praying that we get them in. But at the same time, they can't do that anymore is how they're saying it to me. And I agree with them 100% because it's
so
been very bad what's happening.
So what they've decided is that they are going to – they want their legislative prayer caucus to be a more partisan kind of a situation. So –
they just want real Jesus and real prayer. They're tired of the false, holding up a false Jesus. That's what they're saying.
Pam, hold on a second. I heard you, but remember what I'm saying is that they've chosen, whether they know whether they're verbalizing it or not, but they've chosen to make their prayer time a more partisan time so that they can pray over issues and get real than to try to make their prayer caucus a time where they can bring in both sides of the aisle and try to build relationship on both sides of the aisle through their prayer caucus. Because evidently they feel like that's not what they value at this moment in time.
Some Democrats that come in that are pro-life, so we do have, it is bipartisan, but it's definitely divided by the pro-life that love Jesus Christ versus pro-choice that are, that's the dividing line. I mean, it is. But we do have
pro-life
there, so it's not partisan.
Okay. So they've just decided that's great. Because here's the thing. Like I said, I need us all to keep going back to these are principles and rules of thumb, and this is not a perfect science. This is every state has to realize here's the goal. The long-term goal of the prayer caucus is not to have a prayer meeting. The long-term goal of the prayer caucus is to build a unified group of government leaders at the state level across the nation that are prepared to pray and move together in unison. And as bipartisan as we could possibly make it, we don't want this to devolve into a Republican versus Democrat thing. We're trying to kind of, if possible, move above the fray and become those who believe in religious freedom, believe in God in America, believe that Judeo-Christian values are still crucial. That's the dividing line, whether they're Dems or Republicans. So it sounds to me like, Pam, you're describing something down in Florida that actually is doing that, and your Dems still feel welcome because they're pro-life Dems, and that's good. Now, that is a working in your state, and it may or may not work the same way in another state, and the legislators are the ones that are going to have to sort of lead the set the tone and describe. So all you can do is say, here's what the goal is, here's where we're going. When we choose, each time we choose to behave a certain way, we may or may not lose another aspect of it. Let me just throw that out in Maine, for example. In Maine, they chose specifically not to praise those areas, those legislators, because they specifically wanted to build relationships. That was the most important thing. We have got to build relationships. So they chose to just pray for each other, pray for their families, and just start loving on each other across the aisle. That's what they needed in Maine. So I hope you all understand that every state is going to have to find this line for themselves. So Ginny and Pam, I think you're doing exactly what your legislators, and if they find in a year or so that they have alienated or it's not working, they can make adjustments. If they go, no, this is excellent, it's perfect, it's doing exactly what we want it to do, then you're right on.
I don't want to dominate, but Leah, one of the questions I had, which you did answer, was I was going to ask if every legislator would be signing the same agreement. So I don't know if anyone else is struggling with this, if it's only me, and I can converse with this later offline, but we're signing one agreement with you of where we stand on these issues, and then we're representing a state that's not required to do that. So that does not go in my head right. I'm representing these things, but then I'm representing the state caucus, and they don't have to come in agreement with that. So I can't get that in my head right. I'm sorry. And I can talk about it later offline. Maybe I'm the only one that's having that struggle.
No, let me answer that right now, because all I'm saying is we as a foundation, we cannot require legally, ethically, that's not our job. We just have no ability to go to these legislators as a foundation and require them to sign something like this. Now, they may all believe this 100%. They may be right on with this. And I hope every single government leader that that comes into membership believes this. But I'm just saying legally and ethically and positionally, organizationally, we just legally can't do that. We can't go to them and say, you must sign this.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm just saying we're signing it, saying we believe this way, and then we're representing a caucus that doesn't have – I mean, can the caucus decide they want to do something like that for their members?
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. But I would recommend they would have to revise this pretty dramatically because, again, as a caucus, this is not what the caucus members are necessarily signing up for, is saying that we will be pro-life and pro-marriage. That's not true. What they're saying is we believe in God's place in America. We must protect religious freedom. We want to promote Judeo-Christian values and make sure that our nation continue to reflect those. Like I said, you get people on both sides of the aisle, Christians, that don't agree 100% on that. But, you know, we're trying to get everybody into agreement. Let me put it this way. It's like becoming a Christian and not really understanding all the things that means, not having a biblical worldview. We're trying through the caucus and relationship and standing by with one another that we are moving those people who are Christians, say they believe these things and are not acting that way, we're trying to move them toward actually voting according to a biblical worldview. That's why the relationship and the continued conversation is so crucial. Otherwise, how do we sway them to our side if we're not relationship and praying and letting them see the argument?
Okay. Leah, may I interject just a moment? I just wanted to remind everyone that they do, the legislators do receive a packet that clearly outlines the mission, the goals, the values, and things of the foundation. So they're well aware of what we stand for and understand that they're coming into an agreement with that, in a sense, by forming this legislative prayer caucus. And even going forward, they're going to be getting a kit mailed to them and emailed documents that very similar to what you have received or will receive. that clearly outlines our positions and things, so they will very much understand, and they do very much understand what we represent and who we are and who they are aligning with. Also, the call to prayer proclamation is pretty clear in so many ways about our position, and as they sign that, they are, in a sense, coming into agreement with that as well. So just wanted to put that out there.
Summer, are they required to sign that?
They're definitely not required, but it's just understood, and we've never had anybody disagree.
Well, I would expect they would disagree. I would just expect they might read it halfway or not read it, or read it and just put it aside. But I just wondered what kind of accountability they feel. And I know we can't make them accountable. I've often wanted to, but I just wondered if they have. Just what level of, well, I guess there's no accountability, really. They're on their own.
Let me speak to that, because you have a really good point. And I was actually going to emphasize one of the things Summer said about they will understand. My point is they don't understand. That's the beauty. That's why we spend so much time with you state directors. That's why there's state directors on the ground. Because these government leaders, you guys all know, you have to hear something 5, 6, 7, 10 times sometimes before it really sinks in. And it's 10 times worse with a government leader. They do not understand. They do not get the fullness of this. They get it enough to say yes, but it is more and more understanding every time they touch you, the government, get something, because they will not read these packets. They will not look at all. We're trying to make it as, so that when they glance at these packets, they get some core nuggets is what we're trying to do. And then it's incumbent upon the relationship with us, the continued conversation, the relationship with you guys, the relationship with their peers, colleagues, when we bring them together in teleconferences, the summit. Over the next 5 years, I hope that the mission of this Congressional Prayer Caucus and all these state prayer caucuses is really clear and understood. But right now, I don't believe it is at all, not at all, because it just takes much longer to build something from scratch and have people really understand what it is. And I do think, too, to your point, you made a really good point. We would love to hold these guys more accountable and have them really get it and get on board. But the thing that we have to understand is we are there to serve them and give them more information, more awareness, more understanding, and a mechanism so that when they go, oh, my goodness, I've got to do something. It may not be the first time or the third time or the seventh time, but there's going to come a point when it's so bad they go, thank goodness, I know where to turn. I'll turn to the prayer caucuses and Mike and Jimmy, and they have the answer. They've been building this. I get it now. I get why they've been building this, because for this moment, now I'm ready to engage what they're doing at a level. And we now have an infrastructure and a network in place, and we have all the things they need when they're ready and they really are inspired and convicted that it's time, because a lot of times they don't even realize what we're building here and why we're building it. But just to encourage you, we started with, one or two, and basically not a single legislator we ever, 5 years ago, they didn't know what we were doing, why we were doing it. We barely knew what we were doing or why we were doing it. And now we have the congressional leaders. And let me give you one more point to that the core, and I think this might put an exclamation point on why. Randy Forbes in Congress, started by himself, now has over 100 members in the caucus. Clearly, you and I both know not 100 members are engaged at that caucus and are really on board. But they're on board enough. The trust is there. The name Congressional Prayer Caucus has enough credibility to where he can get 60 to 100 signatures if he needs it at the time. So it has power. It has influence. But it has taken all this time, 6 years, actually 10 years for him, to where finally right now he has a core team of about 10 to 15 leaders. And I would say two years ago he had three, really. It was him and two other people that really, really understood what Randy was building and why this was so crucial, even with all the victories they were doing. Now he has a core of about 10 to 15 that have met together, prayed together. Randy has continued to work with them. And now, for the first time, those leaders have said to Randy, we have to start meeting together and talk real strategy. It's not enough to just pray. It's not enough to live our lives. It's not enough to put forth some legislation here and there and support it. We have got to start talking strategy. And Randy, you're the only group that has the mechanism and the infrastructure that we could make a real difference in this country. That's what persistence and continuing to build and continuing to speak and stay true to the vision of what we're doing. And starting this September, 10 to 15 of them have committed every month to meet together and talk strategy and how they're going to make a difference in this country. That was a giant breakthrough, and it just happened 2 months ago. And that's what I want you guys to hear, is that we have to understand the big picture and where we're going with this at this level, because they're not going to necessarily. Some will, some won't, but when the time comes, we will have built the infrastructure that they can begin to move together and united force around. Does that help also? Any other thoughts on that or any other questions about anything?
Yeah, that helps. There's always a desire on our part here in Kentucky to see the legislators have some kind of we can write letters, we can talk with them, and I pray with them, but in order to energize them to the action of administrating the caucus, getting the members, planning this, planning that, I can suggest, I can't tell them, I can suggest, I just was wondering if there was some external annual you're going to send out a packet, that's great. Do they get this once a year? Do they get some kind of a correspondence from Randy or some other, whatever group they're related to, reminding them of who they are, particularly in the issue of God and religious liberty versus pro-life, pro-marriage? But anyway, we can go talk about that some more later. Thank you.
Well, Mike, no, you make a really good point. That's why we felt like it was absolutely crucial that we start having a summit, because it's time now. We are big enough,
yeah.
And we are going to have another summit,
yes,
in March. And that took,
yes,
us from leaps and bounds to the next level.
Yes.
And
yes.
So our summit will do that. And then we're really going to keep doing these telebriefings. I know we've done them in a spotty way, just here and there, but it's because I don't know that we have really had a vision for them to make them so valuable that the government leaders want to get on. And it's worse to have a telebriefing that isn't that valuable and then try to convince them to come on. It's better to wait till you can hit it out of the park, and then they go, I can't miss those. And that's what we're going for. I don't think we've got there yet, but we plan on it. And so that'll be a quarterly time for them to get on and be reminded. So,
Leah?
Yes.
Leah? This is Sharon. I don't know if anybody else has had this problem, but I was muted somehow by the software, so I had to get out and get back in the call. But I do have two questions and a comment to make about this, and then I'll mute myself and listen to you respond. The first question I have, just thinking of our own caucus, is I think they would be floored to know that you don't consider them a Christian caucus. I don't think that it's ever been on their radar screen or in their understanding at all, and I'm not going to announce it to them. I'm floored myself, really. So I don't know what you would have to say about that. The next thing is, I'm sure everybody on this call has done a boatload of pro bono work. I've done a lot, but I have never been asked or been told that I was considered a contractor status with any organization when I wasn't compensated, because basically we're volunteers. And so those are my questions. The thing I'm struggling with this is, I see the wisdom of what you're saying about Congressman Forbes, that he was in it for the long haul. It's been a 10-year season of brick by brick, but now it's beginning to pay off. And in cases like that, I believe that is a strategy from the Holy Spirit. And that's what we all have to have in this, because the other side of this is in our face. We're being confronted in a way we never have been with our own apostasy as Western believers. I don't know how many of you all did that call with Ted Cruz this week, but the things I heard on that call were unspeakable. I mean, I stood in Auschwitz a few months ago not having any idea we're doing the same thing to innocent babies in this nation. I mean, this is not some small issue. Yesterday, I was at a Mideast summit, and I heard things from people with boots on the ground that are working and funding the Muslim background believers, that for the first time in walking with the Lord 40 years, I thought it is really true what Jesus said, that greater works than he did are being done in our day. But it is a Christianity that we haven't even embraced. And so I think we're in this tension between what is the wisdom of God and how do we open the doors for people and not shut those doors versus what is the real gospel. So I'll just listen to your response.
Yeah, Sharon, I need you to clarify that second point of it. I'm not quite sure what your question was on that. You said you do pro bono work, never ask me contractor status. What did you hear that's different from anything that we've ever talked about previously? I mean, I'm not sure. There's nothing changed at all from your status from the first moment that you came on board with us. So what feels different to you?
Yeah, my concern about being considered a contractor is when people are contracted, you sign an agreement that you'll provide a certain service or a certain number of hours or whatever for a certain amount of money. And there's certain it's just like when you're a volunteer, there's certain expectations. You want to do a job in excellence and do the best job you can, but it's not the same level of responsibility when somebody is compensating you for doing that job. And that is what the word contractor implies.
Okay. So maybe I just, maybe I don't, okay, let's clarify that one. Let's start with that one. We ask all of our state directors to sign a contract, which every one of you has signed as far as I know, and that hasn't changed. That contract, the reason why that's so important is because we have to be able to step in because of our brand and because we are telling all these government leaders, we are not going to bring somebody on as your state director that we do not have the ability to have oversight. And we are absolutely bringing them on, and they are signing an agreement with us. So it's the state director agreement that I'm talking about, that, yes, we are not going to take the logo and the branding and start kind of going off the reservation. And when, at any point, we have the ability to ask somebody to step down as state director if for some reason they start going rogue on us. That's what that state director agreement is. And so anything that I'm talking about of you guys being responsible to us, I'm just talking about that original agreement. This state director commitment, it's just the same concept. It's just that the lawyers are saying now because of SCOTUS, if you don't have something in place, the state director commitment for even your state directors, then a state director comes to you and wants to be one and you say, I'm sorry, you're not a good fit for us, you have absolutely no recourse, whether they're gay or don't believe in God or aren't Christian or whatever. You have no recourse to not bring them on as state director unless it's absolutely fundamentally woven into every bit of the fiber of your organization. So we've added the state director commitment to the state director agreement, which we all do, just so that we can make sure that we promise all of our government leaders legally we have oversight over every state director. So that's we're moving in a realm that is a little bit above what a ministry would operate in. You have to understand, we're not a ministry. Almost all the other organizations you might be volunteering for are all ministries. We're not. We're an organization, an actual foundation organization, representing all these government leaders. And we have to actually operate more like a business or an organization almost than a ministry. So that's why there's a step up, a level up of our legal documents, our agreements and all. And this was all put into place because our government leader said, they didn't say this like this, but basically it's the only way that I can stay in this position with them is if I do everything so thoroughly, so completely that they utterly trust. I've crossed every T, dotted every I. Everything that they see coming out of our foundation is absolutely top-notch. We're using top attorneys, top bookkeepers, top accountants, top lawyers, so that they know they're not going to be embarrassed. That's why they trust us with their name. I can literally use the name of hundreds of government leaders without their permission because I've gained this kind of level of trust, and that requires them seeing these documents and this kind of oversight with even with our state directors and volunteers and interns. So I hope that answers that question. And as far as the Christian caucus, there's a very important reason why when Randy Forbes formed this whole thing, he didn't call it the Congressional Christian Caucus. He could have. Congressional Christian Caucus would have been fine, but he specifically called it the Congressional Prayer Caucus. They even wanted him to change it to the Congressional Spiritual Caucus. They wanted to stop it. He said, no, we are the Congressional Prayer Caucus, and we are going to promote prayer and God's place in America, religious freedom. That's what we're doing. And we're not when I say that we are a formally a Christian organization, it's because the board of directors and the president, we get to, and our bylaws and everything that we're doing and all these documents that we're creating, they all declare us a Christian organization. It's just like, believe it or not, Hobby Lobby, even though they're a business, they actually now have been identified as a Christian organization because of whatever. Now, they're not, everything that they do, all the people they're doing, they're not doing a Christian service. Anybody can come into their stores, and it's a lot like that. Our legislative prayer caucuses, we are not saying to them, you are a Christian caucus. In fact, only Christians can be a part of your caucus. That's what a Christian caucus would say. We're only going to fight for Christian. If you understand the caucus, they come together around a cause. So it's the sportsman caucus comes around people that are like-minded and are protecting the people that want to have guns. The legislative prayer caucuses are coming around and advocating and protecting everybody that wants to be able to pray in public, doesn't want to have to be forced to live and believe their faith behind closed doors. And we are a caucus that's protecting the religious freedoms for everyone and Judeo-Christian values. We're basically you could almost call us a statesman caucus, believing that, you know, the Constitution, the First Amendment, what our founding fathers understood. We're protecting the very core and principles of what this whole country was founded on. So we're not just protecting the rights of Christians. We're not just fighting for the rights of Christians. We are Christians who are fighting for the rights of religious freedom and Judeo-Christian values in our nation. I hope that answers your question.
This is Beth in Colorado, and I just want to share one thing that happened here recently that might kind of show how this all works, and that we had a conference call with several legislators and what was going to be on religious liberty legislation, but of course it took a very sharp turn, which none of us were opposed to, regarding the Planned Parenthood activities, especially here in Colorado. And they decided that they were going to send a letter to the governor and to Planned Parenthood and a few other places. And what was decided instead afterwards as we worked through this is that it actually came from them as just a group of legislators who, for a variety of reasons, one being government funding of this, were willing to sign that letter, and there were several that were not part of the prayer caucus. So instead of it coming from the prayer caucus, they actually made it a broader statement and kept it as an issue. However, we did call and get hold of as many prayer caucus members as we could because we knew they wanted their signature on this document. And so even though that's where their heart was with the issue, we were able to do the same thing, almost more effective, collectively with a broader range of people on that letter because we did not send it as a prayer caucus. Does that make sense?
That's actually a really good example, Beth. And I listened into that entire process, and it was exactly the way it works. It's exactly the way it works in Congress too. It's that group of people, that prayer caucus group of people that were the impetus, the catalyst to the conversation. They hosted the conversation, put the telebriefing together. Beth facilitated it, administrated the conversation, and everybody knew it was the Colorado Prayer Caucus that was calling this conversation on this teleconference. But they had a beautiful conversation and saying, okay, right at the end, after they talked about all this, they said at the end, does this come from the Legislative Prayer Caucus? Is that the strongest thing, the Colorado Prayer Caucus, or do we make this individual? And they had a beautiful debate about that, and it was exactly the right conversation. And the result was, let's not make it an official prayer caucus thing because we think we can have more impact, and it's not in our lane, and we want to get everybody on board because it's a broad thing. Now, in another situation, if it was a religious liberty one, they might have said, yes, formally as a caucus, we want to make a strong statement. It could have gone either way. But they understood what their lane was and how to keep their name powerful and have weight and yet still get other things done using their relationships and their weight to bring this conversation together. So excellent example, Beth.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I really appreciate you guys taking the time to flesh this out. And I if you have any questions that you think other people might be having, please bring it up right now, because if you're still concerned or questioned or confused, somebody else probably is too. All right. So here's my other question. Is that, and I don't quite know how to do this, but I would really like to know now, after we've kind of had all this robust conversation, do you all need more time to pour through this commitment, state director commitment? Do you need more questions answered? Or do you feel comfortable the direction we're going? Do you understand this commitment and why we're needing to sign it now? Do you understand, anything? So maybe just one at a time, if you could just unmute yourself and just kind of give us a sense of where are you in the process. And if you're good, you're good to go, just let us know we're good to go. If you still have questions and you want to talk offline, just let us know that. So that just down one at a time, I can really get a sense of where everybody's landing in this conversation. So starting with Beth, can you just I'll call out your name and unmute yourself and give me just a quick answer if you could. Beth?
Well, I'm ready to sign this. I don't have a problem with it. I've done this type of thing for other nonprofits that I've volunteered with. But also one of the reasons why I'm going to sign this is because it provides me with a source of protection when somebody says, why didn't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I say, well, this is why.
Excellent. Thanks, Beth. Mike?
Yes, I definitely will sign it and appreciate what you're accomplishing. I appreciate the protections put in place, the clarity, and I appreciate the connection that we have with government. It's just I don't see how we can go forward without having this relationship with them and helping to clarify this whole issue of Christianity versus religious liberty and how that works. So thank you.
Okay, excellent. And Ginny?
I'm sure I will sign it, but to be up with you, I've got to spend a little bit more time in prayer. I've written some things down that you clarified and that I'm in agreement with, and I see where you're going. And I might have some more conversation. So.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Ginny, for being honest about that. And absolutely call me anytime. You guys are a priority, so I'd love to talk through any more with you. And I do want to just reiterate, Ginny, I do think you guys are, I mean, based on everything you said, you're following the lead of your legislators. And so I don't have any issues with where you guys are going. It's just a matter of continuing the conversation and seeing where we're going. Esther, how about you in Alaska?
Leah, she had to drop off the call.
Okay, great. You can follow up with her. Sharon, North Carolina?
Yes, I'm going to need some more time. I have some things to pray through about this, but the other thing is I need to talk to the leaders, and now is not really a good time to do it because we thought the session was going to be over this week. It looked like everything was going to come together for the budget and Medicaid and all that, and it hasn't happened. And so they're in a time of a lot of contention, and I'm not sure when they'll work through this, but at some point I need to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and see what their thoughts are.
Okay, great. And Sharon, if there's any more conversation, please give me a call. And I especially, would love to talk to you further. Pam in Florida?
Yeah, I have read over it. I probably will sign it. I have a couple of questions, even like the state director trainer and the monthly reports, some things on that line too, but also what Jenny and I, you know, questions and stuff. So I'd probably like a little bit more conversation, and I'm leaving for Europe on Monday for 2 weeks, so I will be praying over it, but we'll have to talk later about it. I just have a couple of questions. I want to make sure I'm able to do all of the stuff that you guys want me to do because I'm already doing it, but I want to make sure I can do it your way too.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, I appreciate you bringing that up, Pam, because here's the thing. We're not trying to make this harder for you or ask for more work. We're actually trying to make it easier. So if there's anything that you see on there you go, oh my gosh, this is harder, please let us know. We're just trying to streamline, put things online so that you can give us stuff more easily. And these are all suggestions and templates. So every state is different, and every state has to be uniquely sort of tailored. So please know, we are not trying to create a cookie-cutter thing here as much as we're just trying to find a really good way to support 50 different states and 50 different stages of formation with 50 different state directors and different personalities and different levels of engagement. And so I do hope you understand our heart. Please don't look at any of this as if it were hard, fast rules. It's just us struggling to support you better. Abby,
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Abby,
I do feel ready to sign. I do really appreciate the integrity that you're operating from and the groundbreaking way that you are bringing together the politicians, the congressional leaders, and championing the religious faith. And so I'm honored to sign. I'm honored to be part of it. I really appreciate the high quality that you are doing this kind of diplomacy for the Christian religious values.
Thank you so much, Abby. I appreciate that. Appreciate your encouragement. Marlene, Tennessee.
Yes. I see it as really very similar to what I signed two or three weeks ago. I just think it's much more detailed, and I do appreciate the detail as well. I mean, we know what we're getting into. Honestly, I've not read through the entire document, but I will read the entire document, and if I have any questions, I'll certainly let you know. And just to speak into the contractor terminology that Sharon had talked about, I think that scared me. Well, scare is not the right word, but I think that's more of a terminology basis what you're really asking us to do, because contractor is certainly a business term, and that implies many things, and I don't think that's what you are insinuating really that we actually are. So that's all I have to say, but I will sign it.
Yes.
Sure.
Thanks, Marlene. Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm a businesswoman, and I do have contractors versus what we all are, which is just really an agreement between us. And, you know, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we all know agreements are only as good as what people are willing to do according to it. And so we're just giving everybody guidelines and also the ability to give comfort and give us recourse. I never expect in any situation that we're ever going to have to use any kind of serious means. Everybody that we bring on board is amazing. And as much as anything, we're just protecting all of you and the name of this organization and all the government leaders. So I do appreciate that, Marlene. Deborah in Illinois?
Hi, Leah. I'm good to go, and I just appreciate the clarity of the mission, as everyone else has said, and the covering provided by the foundation. And I really see the value of the work that Holy Spirit can do amongst the legislature as they legislators as they pray for one another, as opposed to praying just for issues. And so I really value that and appreciate everything y'all are doing.
Excellent. Thanks, Deborah. And Marion, Connecticut.
Yes. I, too, have all intentions of signing, but I haven't had the opportunity to read it through completely. I was really enamored and blessed by the explanations that was given today, which was very enlightening and informative. And I also will speak on the excellence of your operation, and I fully embrace that. But I do need some time to read it through. I haven't had an opportunity to read it through, but I'm sure I will sign it.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Marion. Did I leave anybody out? Is there anybody else on the call that I didn't call on?
Sorry, I got on the call late. It's Chris from Ohio. Yes, I'll sign it. Thanks so much for everything.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Chris. I'm glad to hear you were on the call. That's excellent. Anybody else? All righty. Great. I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of more things, and then I know that we have reached our, past our time. And I appreciate all of you hanging in for a little bit longer session this week. We're going to, I just want you to know that the Pray USA initiative is still just going strong. And thank you to every one of you that has been involved with this. We have statewide events that are happening in Virginia. There's one coming out, Pennsylvania. Just talked with Abby about one that's coming in October, the Virginia event in September. We have now over 850 government leaders, thanks to the hard work of all your legislators that have sent in proclamations. We have government leaders, state directors, congressmen going into churches. We're getting reports of these happening. Many of them are happening that we didn't even know about. They're telling us, hey, did you know we've already scheduled this? Some people are sending us information after they've already had the event. It's really taken off, and we're so thrilled. Roma Downey, if you haven't watched her video, she did a minute-long video endorsing the Pray USA movement. Also, In God We Trust, that is really also taken off, the Million Window campaign especially. And just a side note, if you want to use that Million Window campaign as an opportunity to get the word out, engage people, fundraise, any of those things, it's actually doing all three of those things for us. It's a catalyst conversation, it's a fundraising opportunity, and it's been a way to just engage people in the foundation, introduce them to what we're doing. So if you have questions about how your state can get involved, we've got a way for you to do all of that through the Million Window campaign, and we'll talk about that at another time. And I already mentioned tentatively, I have the first weekend of March reserved in a Williamsburg for our next summit. So please, if you can, block off your weekend, that first weekend of March. It is not final. I still have to get the confirmation from the members of Congress, but that's what we're looking for now. And they don't get back into session until September, so I won't get that final confirmation probably till the end of September. But just put that on your calendar if you would. So with that, Summer, I know we're kind of running late. I don't know what you might want to add, but I'll pass it to you for the last remarks. And thank you all for staying in this conversation. I think it was an excellent one today.
Absolutely. This was great. I would like to just take a minute. I know there are several of you that were going to inquire of your state chairman whether or not they were interested in having a launch event in the new session. So if I could just maybe have you give a quick answer as to whether or not that's something that we should be playing for, because we do have a meeting after this to discuss that. I know South Carolina is a yes. Ohio, Chris, I know you said that potentially in the spring it would be not necessarily a full launch event, but something that would be kind of a lower level event but would engage citizens. Is that still something that the chairs are interested in?
Yes, ma'am. That's perfect.
Okay, great. Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut, do we have any kind of update from Senator McLaughlin?
Not as yet, but I do plan to meet with him post-haste and hopefully have some definite information to give you. I'm thinking the spring as well, probably early spring, because they're back in session until January.
Okay, great. Thank you, Pastor. Marlene in Tennessee, have you had a chance to meet with Representative Pody about the launch event?
Next week is when I am meeting with him. So, you know, I definitely want to present it to him. I think it's a great idea, but I have not met with him yet.
Okay. Pam in Florida, I know there was discussion of having a launch event. Have you and Representative Phil had a chance to discuss that for the opening session?
Not in its entirety. He comes back September 16th. Our special session blew up, so we're going to meet then and talk about it because our session starts January, February next year. So, yes, we would probably want to, he said, but we've got to work out timing and talk about it. So we'll be talking about it in September.
Okay. And then we're looking at potentially Kansas, Arkansas, and Georgia possibly. Okay. All right. That was all for that. Thank you all for your time today. It really was a great meeting. Always great to connect with you all. And in closing, Leah, would you close us out today, please?
I'd love to. Father, we are so grateful. Thank you so much, Lord, for every single person that you have picked and chosen for such a time as this. What you have deposited in each person on this call and each one of our state directors, not only the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the vision and the wisdom and the understanding and the experience that you have brought and the gifting that you have given to each person that you have chosen to be a part of this foundation, every state director. Lord, we pray for our prayer caucus chairs, the Congressional Prayer Caucus members, the Missouri prayer Caucus. Lord, you have chosen us for such a time as this to be a part of this. Thank you for my team here at the headquarters. Lord, we ask that you would build such a unity and a one heart and one mind that we would be the vehicle of your spirit to move. Lord, we pray ultimately for a revival to fall in the hearts, Lord Jesus, that we would not be able to contain or explain, that it would absolutely sweep our hearts, and there would be such a spirit of conviction across this land, Lord, that we would be eager to obey you, and we would be running to the cross and running to times of prayer and running to to obey you and to learn how to live according to a biblical worldview. That is our heart's cry, Father. And, Lord, I thank you for everyone that is pouring out their time, their energy, their resources, their gifts for this mission and for you, the kingdom, for this nation, for their state, for their community, for their families. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We serve you alone in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone.
God bless you all.
Have a great day.
Bless you guys. Love you.
Bye. Thanks.